morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Londi and I are really excited to be back at college. Our college played a huge role in both our lives and in preparing us for ministry, and so it's such a joy to be back in this community. Our topic this morning is how to persevere, from Hebrews 12:1-17, which was just read for us. Please keep it open in front of you. We'll just go through it together. But before we do that, I just want to pray and ask for the Lord to be with us as we look at His Word. Oh, Father, help us to see from Your Word in Hebrews 12 the resources You have given us to endure to the end. And I pray that You help us harness these spiritual truths for our own spiritual benefit and that of others. Lord of glory, we know that without You, without Your help, no one would make it to the end. No one would endure. Help us to endure through Your Word this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our perseverance is a topic that is close to my heart, and a very sad topic for me, because I'm sure, like some of you, I know too many examples of Christians who have not persevered. Christian friends and dear brothers and sisters who have given up the faith. Now, some of you know about Josh Harris. Once a very influential Christian writer and pastor in the U.S. who recently came out on social media, on Instagram, and basically said that he had fallen away, that he was no longer a Christian. But closer to home, I remember one guy who was part of church council of a church that I was once part of, who suddenly disappeared from church and started living an openly sinful life, started drinking heavily and partying frequently, and unashamedly posting, you know, pictures and statuses on social media about how drunk he was the previous night. It later came out that he was going through a rough time in his marriage and eventually got divorced and seemingly gave up his faith. He's someone that I would never have put in the category of those who would backslide or those who would fall away. And I'm sure we wouldn't have put Josh Harris in that category. I certainly wouldn't have. I benefited a lot from his ministry. And dear friends, that's the warning for you and I. That's the warning for you and I, brothers and sisters, that we're not immune from falling away. I know some of us are really reformed. We believe that you cannot lose your salvation. And trust me, I'm a firm believer in that. But I also firmly believe the multiple warnings the Bible gives us against falling away that we see here in Hebrews and many other parts of the Bible. Now, Hebrews, as you know, in particular, was written to Christians who were drifting away from Christ. These Jewish Christians, it seems, were tempted to go back to Judaism because of the hardship that they were facing and the persecution they were experiencing as Christians. And the author of Hebrews spends the whole letter convincing them and giving them good, solid reasons that Christ is the fulfillment of Judaism, giving them solid reasons why it would be foolish to go back to Judaism. Now, I won't go through all of those arguments, but one of the reasons he gives in chapter 11 and 12, one of the reasons he gives are in chapter 11 and 12. Now, chapter 11 is famously known as, you know, the wall of faith. It is an example of God's people throughout biblical history whose faith helped them to persevere through difficult times to the end. And there the author is basically saying to you and I, and to these Jewish Christians, there are others who came before you, others that you guys look up to, who kept the faith to the end, even in hardship. And in chapter 12, he's applying the examples of faith and perseverance of these heroes of faith and that of Christ himself, our Lord himself, to their situation. And so first in verse 1, he calls them, like these heroes of faith to get rid of anything that would hinder them from persevering in the Christian faith. And in verse 2 and onwards, he calls them to fix their eyes on Jesus. The Jesus who's run the race before them and finished it. He says, fix your eyes on Christ for encouragement to persevere and not give up. And so our first point on how to persevere from Hebrews 12 is get rid of any hindrances. Get rid of any hindrances. Have a look at verse 1 with me in your Bibles there. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, you know, referring to the heroes of faith in chapter 11, he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, as already mentioned, God has always had people who trust him, people who endured many trials to the end because they trusted him. You know, the likes of Abel, the likes of Enoch, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, and many others are given examples of those who trusted God and endured, and some even to the point of death. That's the point of chapter 11. They persevered, and it says there towards the end of chapter 11 that God commended them for their faith. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, those are the words, dear friends, that we should long to hear from our Lord one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. You finished the race. You've done well. And in verse 1, we're told that these heroes of faith now stand as a great cloud of witnesses that endurance is possible. Endurance is possible. They've done it. And that word endurance there is actually the word martyrs, which is stronger, isn't it, than just witnesses. It means that these guys are not just onlookers. They've also suffered for their faith. Some of them were killed for their faith, but they endured. And they stand as an encouragement to us, dear friends, to get rid of anything in our lives that gets in the way of us enduring to the end. Whether it's things that are in themselves not sinful, but are having a negative impact on your relationship with God, or whether it's sin itself, the author of Hebrews says, get rid of it, cast it out. Now, the image that the author is using here, it's an image that, you know, these Jewish Christians would have been very familiar with. And he uses this image to show us how serious we should take this, how serious they should take this. It's an image of athletes in the Olympics back then. For these athletes to run without any hindrance, to run freely, they cast off their robes. And some of them cast off their sandals and ran barefoot because those got in the way of their race. It's what the athletes do today. They dress light so that they can run freely. Now imagine in the Olympics, Usain Bolt in his three-piece suit, and formal shoes and a tie trying to run this 100 meters. He would still win, yes. Isn't he? He's Usain Bolt. He'll probably still win, but that would be a hindrance, isn't it? That would be a hindrance somehow to his race. There are things that get in the way of our relationship with God and other Christians. The thing itself or the things themselves may not be sinful. It may be a relationship. It may be your studies. You know, you guys are here to study at college. It may be a hobby or an interest or entertainment. It may be something that you enjoy doing, but it's getting in the way of you growing as a Christian. It's stopping you from meeting up with other Christians. It's consuming you. It's stopping you from reading your Bible, spending time with God in His Word and praying. It's stopping you from loving and serving others with your gifts. And eventually it stops you from being a Christian. Your salvation is way more important than that. Whatever is getting in the way, do something about it. The author of Hebrews says, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Most times it's sin that gets in the way of us persevering, isn't it? Have a look at verse 15. It's bitterness. It's that lingering bitterness. Verse 16, it's sexual immorality, which is rampant, isn't it, in our world? As the author says, it entangles. Dear friends, sin entangles. Now, one of the guys who was a leader in my student ministry when I was still a student, at some point, a professing Christian, after graduating, he got caught up in sin. And someone bumped into him at a mall and they started catching up. And he found out that he was living with his girlfriend and he challenged him on it. And he said in response, he was enjoying his lifestyle. He was enjoying his lifestyle more than Christ. And he wasn't prepared to stop. Sin had entangled him. And it can entangle you. As a Bible college student, as a lecturer, it can entangle me. And it's not just sexual sin, dear friends. It's greed. It's the love of money. It's bitterness. It's selfishness. It's idolatry. It's loving things and people more than God. Get rid of it. Confess it to God and other Christians that you trust and deal with it. Don't let it entangle you. When you see another brother or sister in Christ living in sin, talk to them about it. Don't let sin entangle them. And what is clear in Hebrews as you read Hebrews is that perseverance is a community thing. We do it together as Christians. So we're not just persevere, but we help others to persevere. Here's our second point on how to persevere. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Have a look at verse 2 with me. I'll read from the end of verse 1b. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So not only do we have this cloud of witnesses or martyrs as an encouragement, the heroes of faith, we also have the Lord himself as an example of endurance, and we should look to him and imitate him. You know, Christ being the pioneer and perfecter of our faith means not only that he's the foundation of our faith, that he founded our faith, but that he has gone through what we're going through. And he has endured. And that's the recurring theme of Hebrews. Jesus endured. He endured the cross, the most vile form of execution in the Roman Empire. And I know that we take it for granted today. Because, you know, it's so common. The cross is everywhere. We wear it on our necks. No one would have ever thought of doing that in the Roman Empire. The cross was meant to humiliate. You were hung naked in front of people, helpless and suffocating and dying. You were not even allowed to have a proper burial if you died through crucifixion. You were thrown in a mass grave with other executed criminals. And of course, it was different for Christ by God's grace. And at the end of verse 2 tells us that for the joy set before him, not that the pain of the cross was enjoyable, but for the joy set before him, the joy of sitting at the right hand of God as a faithful and obedient son, Jesus endured the cross. What was meant to ridicule him, he ridiculed. Because it didn't stop him from obeying his father and enduring. And he was rewarded at the end. He sits at the right hand of the throne of God, the highest position ever. And God will help you and I to fix our eyes on Jesus. He will help us if we look to him for encouragement. Now, how do we do that as we finish off? How do we fix our eyes on Jesus? I have 3 points as a way of application of this. Firstly, we endure trials like Jesus. Have a look at verse 3 and 4 with me. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You know, Christ is not asking us to do something that he has not done. God's Son himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, endured. He endured hostility and opposition from people he came to serve. He suffered for his faith and suffered for living in this broken world. Those are some of the things that we experience. And Christ died for that. He died. Unlike some of us today, we are not yet at a point where we are dying for our faith. But Christ did and endured. And the author of Hebrews is saying that should give us encouragement to endure. Our Lord Jesus Christ did it. He endured the cross. Secondly, accept God's discipline, which comes, by the way, in a form of suffering. God's discipline comes in a form of suffering. We see that in verse 5 to 13, which expounds on that. But have a look at the summary of that, the point of verse 5 to 13 in verse 7. He says they endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. And this discipline is amazing, dear friends, because even though it's painful, it's meant to mold you. It shows that God loves you, verse 5 and 6. And that's why, dear friends, the prosperity gospel is just so wrong. It's just so wrong on many levels. Suffering is very much of the Christian life. God disciplines those whom he loves. That's the truth. That's what we heard from Revelation earlier as it was read. Discipline also shows us that we are indeed God's children and not illegitimate children, verse 6 and 8. It's also for our own good, verse 9 to 11. I'm summarizing. We don't have time to go through all of that. But that's what we see about what discipline does for us. The holiness and the righteousness that we so long for comes from God through discipline. And so we also fix our eyes on Jesus by accepting God's discipline. And finally, we strive for holiness without which no one will see God. We strive for holiness without which no one will see God. Have a look at verse 14 with me. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold in his inheritance rides as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected, even though he sought the blessing with tears. He could not change what he had done. Without holiness, no one will see God. No one will see God without holiness. That's what we see here in Hebrews. And that's how we fix our eyes on Jesus, by pursuing holiness in this lifetime. And so, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, let's run the Christian race set before us with perseverance. Let's rid ourselves of any hindrances in our lives, whatever it is. Remember, it's not as important as your salvation. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. How awesome will it be when in 20 years down the line, we all still faithfully, walking with the Lord and serving him. How awesome will it be, dear friends, when we see each other in eternity, because we faithfully walked with the Lord and served him to the end. And that's my prayer. I pray that the Lord will help us not to grow weary, but that he will grant us perseverance in Christ, each one of us. And let me pray as I close. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you for speaking to us through your word in Hebrews. Our Father, I pray that you grant each one of us perseverance to the end. If there's any among us, Lord, who's weary, any among us who is thinking of giving up, any among us who's caught up in sin and it's leading them to fall away, I do pray that you, by your grace, through your word that we've heard this morning, encourage them and bring them back to you. Help us as brothers and sisters to encourage one another. Help us to look to Christians who have come before us to encourage one another. And help us to look to your example, as we have seen in Hebrews, to encourage one another to endure to the end. Oh, help us to persevere, Lord, for the sake of your name and for the sake of us being with you in eternity. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.